He purport by Zvangai Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This verse, Vidagta Madhava 1.2, also appears in Adi Lila 1.4 and 3.4. In his commentary on Vidagta Madhava, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Mahaprabhoh Spurtim Vina Hari Lila Rasasvadananupapater Iti Bhavaha. Without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot describe the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami said, Vah Yushmakam Hridaya Rupa Guhayang Shachinandano Harih Pakshi Singhach Spuratu. May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is exactly like a lion that kills all the elephants of desire, be awakened within everyone's heart, for by his merciful blessings one can understand the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. Anarpita charin chirat karunaya batirnach kalau samarpayatum unnato chvala rasang svabhakti shriyam harih purata sundarajuti kadamba sandipataha sadaridaya kandare spuratuvah shachinandanaha. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Shachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Om Agyanatam Randasya Ginanjana Shalakya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're leading up to Gaur Purnim time, so the next four lectures are connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, Gaur Purnim itself. So I decided to choose this verse. There's a general theme. There's four lectures of a certain theme, which I'll touch upon later on. I decided on this verse because Namesh said you can choose whatever you like. So I particularly like this verse. Now it's this is a description of the external reasons for the descent of Mahaprabhu. And you'd be mistaken if you looked at the verse for thinking it was external. It doesn't look very external, does it? It's talking about the unnatochvala rasam, very confidential, elevated conjugal ras. So it's very confidential, it's very much connected with the internal reasons. Who knows the internal reasons for the descent of Mahaprabhu? Premanava. Yes. Okay, so there's a verse that's got three aspects to that, right? Can you go into more detail on that one? There's three particular aspects in connection with that love. Anyone know the? Yeah, that's the third one. That's the happiness she gets upon realization of her love. Yeah. The love itself, yeah. The first one is the greatness of her love. Yeah. Shri Radha Pranaya Mahima Kidrasho. Krishna wants to know how great is Srimati Radharani's love. He understands because he can see that there's an asymmetry in the relationship. Krishna loves Radharani, but he can see that Radharani's love for Krishna is more than his love for Radharani. So then he becomes very intrigued. What is it to be Srimati Radharani? What is it like to be the Ashraya instead of the Vishaya? Krishna's the object of love. But Srimati Radharani, she's the abode of love. So Mahaprabhu wants to know what is it like to be in the position of Srimati Radharani? Because I can see that they are completely controlled, and in our relationship, her love is greater than mine. It's said to be 10 million times greater. So that's the first reason. Second one is the sweetness of Krishna. Now, we can all taste the sweetness of Krishna according to our qualification. As we are the more pure we become, the more we will be able to taste the sweetness of Krishna. But Srimati Radharani, she's exceptional because her love is so great that the sweetness of Krishna shines in the mirror of her love in ever fresher ways. You see, the sweetness of Krishna is unlimited. Therefore, the recipient, the perceiver of that love, that sweetness, has to be unlimitedly able to take the sweetness, you see. So we can experience the sweetness of love and become completely bewildered by it. But Srimati Radharani, when she experiences that sweetness, she can experience it in dimensions that we are unaware of because her love is greater than ours, you see. So Krishna wants to take the role of Srimati Radharani so that he can then experience his own sweetness. And then the third one is, once the sweetness is experienced, then there's a realization of that sweetness. It's like when you have an experience. The experience may be wonderful, but then if you reflect upon that experience, then that is even more wonderful. So she has realizations. It's mad anubhavataha, her anubhav, her realization of that love. That is the third component of this amazing love that Srimati Radharani has. And the third internal reason why Mahaprabhu descends, Krishna descends as Mahaprabhu. Now the external reasons are connected with the internal. So today's verse is the external. So the internal is to taste. The external is to distribute, right? So therefore, the external reason for the appearance of Mahaprabhu is to deliver the Yuga Dharma, right? Yuga Dharma Pravartaimu Nama Sankirtan. Mahaprabhu says, I come to deliver the Yuga Dharma. Chari Bhava Bhakti Diya Nachamu Bhuvana. He comes, what's particularly significant about this Harinam Sankirtan is it is giving four mellows. Chari Bhav. So what are the four mellows that are contained within the Mahamantra that Mahaprabhu is giving? What are these mellows? Anyone know them? Actually, everyone knows them. Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Yeah. Of course, this verse is discussing the Madhurya Ras. Sometimes people mistakenly think that Mahaprabhu is only giving Madhurya Ras. No, he's not. He's given four. He says it himself, Chari Bhava Bhakti. He's given the four mellows in the form of Harinam Sankirtan. So the first two words, if you look at the first two words, Anarpita Charim means not bestowed for a long time. Or Anarpita Charim Chirat. So this is what's very special about the incarnation of Mahaprabhu. He is giving something that has not been given for a long time. Now what exactly is that? Does anyone know what is he giving that other incarnations are not giving? Srinivas Prabhu. He's giving Madhurya Ras, yes. So what is special about the Madhurya Ras? That it... 2.5, okay. Thank you for that. Was it Dasya? And what? Shantam? 2.5? Okay. Half of Vatsalya, is it? I don't know. You've lost me anyway. So okay, 2.5 relationships. So he's given extra relationships. And what is special about the relationships he's giving? What is the extra potency of these relationships in relation to Krishna? Is that Krishna is conquered by them, right? So he says, Aishvarya Geneti Sabha Jagat Mishrita. He says, the entire universe is worshipping me with Aishvarya. Yeah. Then he says, Aishvarya Shatila Prema Nahi Moraprita. But I'm not satisfied by this. You see? So when it says Anarpita Charin Chirat, he's referring to Krishna. When Krishna came, he gave the higher rasas by which he can become conquered. You have other avatars, they're not giving this. They're giving Aishwarya Gyan. Krishna's not conquered by this. Krishna is conquered by this, but he's not conquered by Aishwarya, but he's conquered by the Madhurya Ras and the Sakya Ras and the Vatsalya Ras. So when Krishna left, planet. And after a while, he was thinking to himself, actually, the devotees are again worshipping me with awe and reverence. You know? Krishna, the special contribution of Sri Krishna is that he gave the Raga Marg, the loving devotional service, without the restraints of Vidhi Marg, without rules and regulations. Of course, the rules and regulations are there, but they're there to support the Raga Marg. We're supposed to come to the platform of Raga Ruga Bhakti. This is something that was not given by the other incarnations. It's a very rare thing. So we should bear this in mind, that we're very fortunate that not only have we received devotional service, but we've received the highest type, that type of devotional service by which Krishna himself will be conquered. So Krishna's known as Rasika Shekara and Parama Karuna. These two, the Rasika Shekara means he came to enjoy his pastimes. He comes, he's the great enjoyer, so he's Rasika Shekara. But he's also Parama Karuna because he gave the same enjoyment to the living entities in the form of the Raga Nuga Bhakti. So it's in order to re-establish this Raga Nuga Bhakti that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. You see, so that is why it's said Anarpita Chirin Chirat. It's never before, for a long time, it's not been given. So Mahaprabhu's given something very special, and we should always remember that. And it's all embodied in the Harinam Sankirtan. He says, Yuga Dharma Pravartaimu in Nama Sankirtan. I come to establish this Yuga Dharma. And what is the nature of this Yuga Dharma? It's Chari Bhava Bhakti. It has these four mellows. So we have to come to the platform of when we chant Hare Krishna on the streets, that there's something going on within our hearts. This is the actual objective. If we give up, this process prematurely and think, okay, I'm not going to do this because I'd rather do some other things, like I'd rather make money than do Harinam Sankirtan, or I'd rather read a book than do Harinam Sankirtan, and then we've kind of defeated ourselves. The prize of Harinam Sankirtan is to actually come off the material platform and be established in some rasa with Krishna, Chari Bhava Bhakti. And it's always amazing when we think about it that on the one hand we worship the great personalities in our line who have done this, but at the same time we don't want to follow in their footsteps. If you consider the lives of the Goswamis, you know, they gave up family life. They gave up. I mean, look at Raghunath Das Goswami. What did he give up? He was very wealthy. They were all wealthy. I'm not sure all of them, but Rupa, Sanatan, Raghunath Das Goswami, they were all fantastically wealthy. Very, very wealthy. And they gave it all up to sleep under a tree every day, different tree every night. So then, in our situation, well, we don't really want to make such an effort. Because we think, well, let me earn a little bit of money, which is about this much in comparison to what they had. What we are striving for is insignificant compared with the material wealth that the Goswamis had. Yet they gave it all up just to get this higher taste within the heart. So yeah, I mean, if we want to follow in the footsteps, then we have to surrender like they did. And it's not easy. It's not easy to distribute Prabhupada's books. It's not easy to perform Harinam Sankirtan. But if we regularly do it, then we get a taste for it. We become steady, and then through that steadiness, something will awaken within the heart. And that is the actual objective. Then we will be fabulously wealthy, because this is the ultimate wealth. There's no wealth. Material wealth is nothing. To have a stone heart and a material wealth is nothing. But to have a soft heart, that is worth more than anything. So who spoke this verse? Does anyone know who compiled the verse? It was in the purport if anyone was listening carefully. Prabhu. Yeah, it's Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami, this is our line, Rupa Goswami, right? So whatever Rupa Goswami says, we should take this very, very seriously. Yeah, Vidi Yasya Preranaya Pravartitoham Varakarupopi Tasya Harech Parakamalam Vande Chaitanya Devasya. Before Srila Rupa Goswami compiled the Nectar of Devotion, he prayed at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, actually, I am Varaka Rupo. I am actually very, very fallen. But by the inspiration of Mahaprabhu, I am compiling this scripture. And in the same way, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he said he was very insignificant, old, senses were dying, intellect was fading, but by the mercy of Lord Sri Krishna, then he can compile this literature. So this is the way to advance spiritually, is to understand how fallen we are. Actually, I'm reading the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He makes an interesting point. He said, I was very proud of my moral life. I was proud of my intellect. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was extremely intelligent, very moral, very principled person. And he had all this pride. But then when he received the mercy of Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he realized that he was simply suffering. And he saw that the whole of humanity was simply suffering. So this is intelligence, to actually come off the platform of false ego and just to understand that I'm simply suffering. I'm in a prison. My material body is a prison and I am suffering. And I'm in ignorance. This is intelligence. So even all the Goswamis, they all approach Mahaprabhu in the same way. You can go through the Chaitanya Charitamrita and you can see the meetings of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunatha Goswami, all of them. They're always very, very humble when they approach. Yeah. What did Sanatana say? Kiyami, right? Kiyami kenamaya jori tapatraya. He said, who am I? Why am I suffering like this? So he was also very, very educated. He knew so many different languages. And everyone was calling him a pundit. But in his eyes, he said, everyone else is calling me a pundit, but I don't even know who I am. See, this is his mood. So he approached with humility. There's another verse, I can't remember who it was that spoke it. Nicha jati, nicha sangi, kuvishaya. I can't remember exactly how it goes. He says, I am from low caste, I have had bad association, and I'm in the well of material life. So this is how we receive the mercy. We have to, first of all, become low and humble like this. So actually, this class was kind of entitled "The Household Temple of Mother Shachi." So I'll explain a little bit about this. There's four what are described as avir bhav manifestations of the Lord. The Lord's mercy is unlimited, but it comes in three different forms. One is directly, that is the Shakshat manifestation of the Lord, where he directly appears to the devotees. Then there's the Avesh manifestation, that is when he enters a devotee. The example given is Nakul Brahmachari. The Lord personally entered into him, therefore he manifested symptoms, ecstatic symptoms, that only Mahaprabhu was manifesting. So it's understood that he was particularly displaying the mercy of the Lord. And the third mercy comes as avir bhav. Now the word avir bhav, as far as I understand it, just means appearance, right? Like we have avir bhav mahotsava, the appearance festival, tirobhav, the disappearance. So it means the appearance of the Lord. But it means when the Lord is not personally present. For example, he may be in Jagannath Puri, but then he personally appears in the house of Mother Shachi. Yeah? So this is avir bhav. So there are four prominent avir bhav features of the Lord, manifestations, which are described in one particular verse in Anchilila. First of those is Mother Shachi's house. The Lord would repeatedly appear in the house of Mother Shachi, even though he was present in Jagannath Puri. He would appear in the kirtans of Srivas's house. He would appear in those kirtans. He would appear in the house of Raghava, Pandit. And there's one other place. Yeah, when Lord Nityananda was dancing, he would appear. So these are the four avir bhav features of the Lord. He comes in particular. And so I'll discuss a little bit about Mother Shachi Devi. So obviously when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, all his devotees, they were plunged into an ocean of despair. They were going to lose the object of their love. And he had very beautiful hair. He was going to cut his hair. And Mahaprabhu, first of all, before he took sannyas, he told Nityananda, he said, I'm telling you, I will reveal my mind to you. I'm going to take sannyas. I have to deliver the fallen living entities. Prior to that, there was one of his followers, so-called followers, criticized him. He was chanting, Mahaprabhu was chanting the names of the gopis. And this person criticized him, told him he should be chanting Hare Krishna. Mahaprabhu chased him with a stick. And then he went to his friends and he said, hear what Chaitanya did. He did this, he did that, he threatened me. And they started making a plan to retaliate. This was very distressing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he decided the only way to deliver these entities is to take sannyas. Then they will give respect to the sannyasi, that way they'll make spiritual advancement. Because he comes to deliver them, but then if they commit offences, they're just becoming more bound by material life. So no, that was his reason for taking sannyas. So when he told Lord Nityananda, he went away to a solitary spot and started crying. The reason he was crying was he was considering Mother Shachi. What would she do? Now Jagannath Mishra had already left the planet, and Mother Shachi's other son, Vishwarup, had already taken sannyas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the only relative left of Mother Shachi. So how would she survive without him like this? This is the way Lord Nityananda was thinking. And when Gadadhar Pandit heard, he too had the same mood. He said to Mahaprabhu, he said, if you take sannyas and you leave, then your mother will die. She just won't be able to live without you. And you'll have that sin on your conscience like this. Finally, when Mother Shachi heard, she fell unconscious, couldn't take it. She recovered, and Mahaprabhu spoke pleasing words to her and consoled her to some extent. And actually, just at that time, Kulavecchar Sridhar came with a green pumpkin, offered it to Mahaprabhu. So he gave the pumpkin to Mother Shachi and said, no, you please cook something for me. So she was very happy to get to cook for her son before he takes sannyas. But this cooking is what maintained her even after he took sannyas. He went traveling in South India and he ended up residing in Jagannath Puri. But all throughout that period, Mother Shachi, she would cook every day and offer it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like this. So Mahaprabhu, in his Avirbhav feature, he would come every day and he'd offer respects to his mother and he would take the prasadam. And she wasn't aware of it, though sometimes she thought she was aware of it. She said, you know, I offer food and sometimes the food disappears, and then I think I must be dreaming, this must be my dream. Because she wasn't totally aware that Mahaprabhu was coming every day. But then every year, Mahaprabhu would send one of his associates from Jagannath Puri to his mother, give her some prasad, Jagannath Prasad. His mother was residing in Nadia, and he'd send Jagannath Prasad, and he would send sweet words and consolation to his mother like this. So he'd send Jagadananda Pandit. He would come and he explained to Mother Shachi, he said, actually, Nimai has a message for you. He's telling you that every day he's coming to your house and he's offering obeisances, and every day he's taking the prasad that you've offered like this. This is very astonishing. So this is the mercy of the Lord. One of the reasons that people don't become worshippers of God in any form is because they don't consider the Lord to be very merciful. They consider the Lord as one of the reasons why people don't believe in God is they say, well, if God exists, why is there so much suffering in the world? You know, very common point. But they're not understanding. They don't have any gratitude. Like this verse, you know, Samarpa yatumu natochvala rasam. The Lord has come to give. You know, we maybe think the Lord is, he has everything and he's the master, therefore we have to give and he doesn't give. No, this is not the case. The Lord is giving. Samarpa yatumu natochvala rasam. We simply have to have enough intelligence to see the mercy of the Lord. Enough gratitude. What's the term? The term for gratitude is kritagya. One who knows what good another person has done. Krita means the good activity. So we have to always think this way. When you think of Srila Prabhupada, think, what would your life be like if Srila Prabhupada had not come to the West? Just think of that. And that is, that automatically should bring gratitude. Or if you think, what would your life be like if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has not come to spread the Yuga Dharma? And that is, we should always remember this. And whatever senior devotees are doing, like what, we should have gratitude for George Harrison, Imagine not having this temple. I mean, gratitude for the leaders in our movement who carried on after the departure of Srila Prabhupada. That wasn't a very, very, very difficult time. Prabhupada said, spiritual movement in the material world is a very difficult proposition. There's always going to be difficulties in establishing our spiritual movement in the material world. Therefore, we should have gratitude for all the contributions that each devotee makes in order to keep this movement moving on like this. So anyway, we're almost half past. We've got 7 minutes left, so I'll stop here, and if anyone has any comments or questions.